The Pope gave Mother Teresa a limousine, one of those, you know, cool limousines that have bulletproof. She pawned it. She sold it. She did something with it. Anyway, she sold it. And the money that she received from it, she went and used it to feed the children in India. India, Calcutta, is known as the city where you will find the poorest of the poor there in India. And today, you know, every 6 months we try to attempt to teach, to remind, to encourage believers and members of Hidden Treasures to keep our focus on supporting missionaries through prayer and financial help. Today, the Lord wants us to connect the dots. If you put slide one, he wants us to connect the dots, beginning with the gospel and how to connect God's word with the lost. Somehow the gospel will go and touch the lives of many people. And as it touches the lives of many people, it is the driving force. I mean, there's power in the gospel. And we're going to read, as a matter of fact, if you want to go to Romans chapter 1, verse 16 and 17, we're going to read there. And there's something about the gospel and how it flows, and it's supposed to go from where it started, where it originated, God's words, God's mouth. But it's supposed to go all the way to those who have not yet heard it. It's supposed to go to the lost. And somehow these dots need to be connected. Who are the dots? Well, the places and the individuals that the dots correlate. But somehow we're going to try to connect the dots today. And of course, every 6 months we bring this to we bring this to light. We bring this up, the subject of missions, because our heart, Shannon's heart, my heart, it wants to beat like the heart. Beat of God. God does not desire that any should perish, but that all come to repentance. It says in God's word that God wants every single person that has ever walked this face of the earth, and a lot have refused his message. A lot of people have refused God's love. A lot of people have refused his son, which is his love. And the fact that God sent his son, his only son, to die on the cross for our sin. And so our heart is to beat the way God's heart beats. And of course, we're trying to get there. I'm not saying we're perfect. We're far from it. But we're approaching that. We're approaching to be holy as God is holy. And God desires that those who are lost come to know Christ. Not just in our backyard, not just down the street from where you live, not just the people you work with. There's thousands and millions of people all over the face of this earth that need to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so this is why we do it every 6 months. We try to bring this to light. We try to remind. We try to teach those that, you know, really, there are some of you maybe today, you have not had a teaching, or you did not, you know, the idea of giving to missions, this is what comes to maybe your mind. I'm not saying it's you, but I'm just saying maybe you. Because a lot of times people don't like the term missions or giving to, you know, another family. Because this is the mentality of some people. Well, hold up, Pastor, this is my money. I worked hard for this money. You trying to tell me I got to go ahead and give some of my money to a family that might have heard something, and it probably wasn't God, but heard something, to quit their job, leave this country, and go to some other country where they're probably not wanted. They don't know the food. They don't know the culture. They don't know the language. And you're trying to tell me, preacher, that I got to give some of my hard-earned money to help a family, to help a guy and his wife and his couple of kids, or just one kid, who quit their job and flew to the other side. So now I got to support my family and then help support his family? That's the mentality that some people might have when it comes to missions. But what we want to do is that every 6 months, and periodically within those 6 months, we also do this as the Lord leads us, to help raise the great importance of missions. The thing is that, you know, God told us, you take care of my kingdom, or you take care of the kingdom of God, and I'll take care of your church. I'll take care of your lives. And so we put God first. Isn't that what Matthew 6:33 says? That if we seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, everything else will just fall into place. Now, I've seen that, and I'm not sure. I'm not going to ask you, because you probably wouldn't want to, and you might seem like it's a little bit boastful or whatever. But I have seen that happen, where we put God first. And in putting God first and his kingdom first, everything just kind of falls into place. And so we want to help the members of Hidden Treasures and those that are here today. We want to teach you. We want to remind you. We want to encourage you that supporting missionaries, supporting the great scheme of missions is the heartbeat of God, because God does not want any to perish, but for all to come to repentance. Amen. So let's go to Romans chapter 1, verse 16 and 17. You can stand for the reading of the word. It says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ." Notice Paul says, "I'm not ashamed. I'm not ashamed." Man, right there, we could just say a prayer. Lord, help me to never be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. "For it is the power of God." What is the power of God? Well, this gospel. "The gospel is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also the Greek." Verse 17, "For in it," we're going to dissect verse 17 later on, but it says, "For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." Father, I thank you for your word today. God, speak to our hearts. God, speak to us, God, today. Let our hearts, Lord, and our minds be changed, be renewed. Lord, help us to see, Father. God, help us to be reminded. Help us to be taught today from your word, Lord. Lord, your heartbeat, Lord, what your heart beats for, that the lost would come to know your son, Jesus. Father, we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. We go to slide 2. So it starts with the gospel. Got to connect these dots, and it starts with the gospel. Hear Paul's great quote about the good news of Jesus Christ. The good news is the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that we should not be ashamed. He says that, "For I am not ashamed." Now listen, he says, "For I am not ashamed." That's a good positive quote there. He's not saying, "For I shall hope not to be ashamed." I mean, he's saying, "For I am not ashamed." That takes a lot of, you know what? It takes a lot of guts to say that, because your life better back it up. We were talking about this morning, how if we say that we have faith in God, well, there better be some works to show it. There better be something to show it. Because if you say, "Well, I have faith in God." Okay, well then, you know what? Let us hang out with you for a couple of days and we'll see that how your works display your faith in God, if you are truly a believer in Jesus Christ. So if our works reveal our faith, then what does that say about our faith? That is false or true? Which is it? Shout it out. True. All right. Ding, 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 ding. It's true. Yes. So Paul's great quote here about the gospel is that it should not be something that we should be ashamed of. There is power in this gospel, the power for salvation for everyone who believes. When you came to know Jesus Christ and you said that little simple prayer, and you know what? That simple prayer, it was different from each person. Even the guy on the cross, when he hung on the cross, he looked at Jesus and he said, "Hey, when you go into paradise, remember me." He didn't have Romans 10, 9. I mean, he didn't say, "Hey, somebody show me what Romans, what does the scripture say? Because I'm here and I'm nailed to this cross and I don't know what to say. I believe in this guy. Can someone help me?" He just looked at Jesus and he says, "Hey, when you go to paradise, don't forget me. Will you remember me?" He actually called him Lord. He actually said Lord. Supreme authority. He recognized Jesus as Lord. He called him Lord. He wasn't just being polite. He called him Lord. And Jesus said, "Today you'll be with me in paradise." Awesome. So in all of our prayers, when we came to know Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, when we surrendered our lives, there something supernaturally happened, and there was there's power in the gospel, the fact that power saved us, the power for salvation for everyone who believes. Now that belief is more than just "I know." Is more than that. That belief carries the fact that you know into action, and that your life and that your heart is surrendered before God, that you don't just say you believe, your life proves that you believe. There is power to transform a life to be made new. Let's go to John chapter 1 real quick, and I'm going to read verses 1 through, I think, verse 12. But if we'll go there real quick. And I'm not sure if your Bibles, but my Bible has where it says the word is capitalized. And there's a reason for that. It says, "In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. He was in the beginning with God. Who's he? The word, words capitalized. It's talking about Jesus. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. This man came for a witness, to bear witness of the light. Now, my Bible has light capitalized. Anybody else have that? All right, that light, still talking about the capital W word, still talking about Jesus, to bear witness of that light. That's what John the Baptist did. He went to bear witness of Jesus, or of the light, of the Messiah that was coming, that all through him might believe. He was not that light. John was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which gives light to every man coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, capital H, him, talking about Jesus, talking about capital L, light, talking about the capital W word, or W word, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, the name of Jesus. Every name, every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. His name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Hallelujah. This power, the gospel of Jesus Christ, the good news, power to transform a life, to be made new. Now here it makes mention of this word, the living word, who is Jesus, that there is power in his name and power in this word. It is life changing that the word of God, the gospel, which is the truth, has made us free. Amen. There's something about being embarrassed that troubles me. You see, because of the fact that Paul says, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. There's something about being embarrassed, because as I stand here, I want to be honest with you. There have been times that I shied away from sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, don't look up here like you've never done it. Maybe you have. And if you have, I'd like to hang out with you a whole lot more. But maybe you haven't, where you shied away, where God said, go ahead and give him a track. Go ahead and invite him to church. Go ahead and tell him what God did for you this morning. No, that's all right. I'll do it later, God. There's something about this being embarrassed that I don't like. Didn't like it when it happened, and I allow that embarrassment, and it troubles me. Why should I care what people think or say of me when I have this power, which is the word of God? It is the gospel that saved me, that changed me. Why am I going to be afraid? Why am I going to be embarrassed? You see, I think when Paul said this, we can look through his life and you can tell that man was not ashamed. Well, there might have been a time that he was, but when he said this, he said, I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation. Why should I care? Why should you care what people think or say of you? Especially when it comes to the gospel, it's what saved me. It's what changed me. There's evidence in that. I hope that you could see the evidence that you came to know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. I hope that you could see the evidence that it changed you, that it revolutionized your thinking and your way of life, what you decide, how you live, what you do when it comes payday, what you spend your money on, what you watch, what you listen to, all of these things, the power that is found in the gospel of Jesus Christ has changed you. And yet, when it comes to that time to share the gospel, maybe it's to that Walmart clerk, maybe it's to that person in the hospital or at a store, and you're like, oh, okay, God, you really want me to? Okay, okay, they just left the room. God, I would have, but they just left the room. How many of you, I justified that, okay? You're like, oh, but God, I was going to, but they left the room. And maybe the Holy Spirit says, well, they start following them then. Go up to them and tell them. No, I'll wait till next time. How many of you have done that? Yes, Lord, forgive us. Help us. Again, I want to read verse 16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Lord, I pray that that would be such a true statement in our lives today, that we would say, God, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Lord, help us, Lord, not just to say it, but to live it. Lord, I thank you in Jesus' name. You know, Sister Dow mentioned something this morning. When you find something that you're doing wrong, and you find out that you're doing it wrong because the word of God says so, right then and there is the best time. Don't wait. Right then and there is the best time to say, God, forgive me. God, I was really rude to that person. God, help me not to be rude to anybody anymore. Right then is the time. Let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. Paul encourages Timothy about this same gospel. He's not talking about a different one. He's talking about the same one. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and of a sound mind. This is what God wants to give us. Power, love, and a sound mind. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord. Do not be ashamed of the word of God. Do not be ashamed of the testimony of what Jesus is all about, nor of me, his prisoner, but share with me in the sufferings for the gospel according to the power of God. You know, the gospel will cause you to suffer, but I'm telling you, it's nothing compared to what some of these apostles had to suffer, okay? Oh, God, you want me to fast this afternoon? Seriously? Oh, these guys were going to go out to go eat. And look, listen, that has nothing compared to what people had to suffer. Had nothing. I mean, we don't even, living in these United States, we don't really understand. I mentioned this before. We don't really understand what suffering means. Let us go to China for a little bit and hang out with some, you know, Christians in China and see what they have to go through. Or in the Middle East, there are Christians there. Let's see what they have to suffer for before we can actually say, oh, Lord, do I really have to? Are you really wanting me to do this? I'm sharing that by experience now, okay? All right, so I'm just letting you know. So he says, in the sufferings for the gospel, according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began, but has now been revealed by the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who has abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Listen, why are we going to be embarrassed or ashamed talking about somebody who abolished death? Who brought life. He's the only one. He is the only one that's the giver of life. He's the only one that abolished death, kicked death right in his teeth. He's the only one. Why are we going to be ashamed of that? I mean, when you get something new, you want to sport it out. You want to show people. You want, ladies, you bought a new pair of shoes. You're probably wearing them because you bought them yesterday. And so you just want to, you have something new. You want to share it. We have somebody who gives us new life. And yet somehow we find the opportunity to share the gospel and we're ashamed or we're embarrassed. And so we let that opportunity. See, Jesus abolished death, brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. This is another reason why we should pray again. Lord, help me not to be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. To which I was appointed a preacher, an apostle, and a teacher to the Gentiles. Verse 12. For this reason, I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed. He says it again. For I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he, capital H, is able to keep what I have committed to him, capital H, until that day. Slide 3. So we're connecting these dots from the gospel. That's where it started. To the missionary, the messenger, the servant. You see, from the shepherds that were in the field, the followers of Jesus, the apostles, that's the people that followed Jesus, to Hudson Taylor that Shannon talked about last week, the missionary that went to China. And even to the Bontaine family of the 20th century, the gospel has been the driving force of every vessel, of every person. Look to the person next to you and say, you're a vessel. Look to the person next to you on the other side and say, you're a vessel. The gospel is the driving force. There's power in the gospel. And the fact that we are the vessel that the gospel is supposed to be used to take to the world, to take to those who have not heard and who need to hear about Jesus. Verse 9 says that Jesus saved us. God has called us with a holy calling for his purpose and grace. You know, sadly, we as believers, we need to stay focused because if not, we're going to miss this purpose and this grace that has been given to us. If we don't forget, because we can forget the great importance of who saved us and what we have to proclaim that others can be saved. That's why every 6 months we try to, you know, remind ourselves, teach and encourage one another, missions to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ here in this area. I'm so glad that we finally, it's not that we messed up before, but the fact that we support CareNet Pregnancy Center. The fact that there are going to be women going into that pregnancy center that are going to get to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we have a part in that. And the fact that we give food, we give boxes of food away. We're able to go ahead and place a track and have the opportunity of sharing the good news or inviting someone to church. We have the ability to do that. We're not just giving food away. We're giving spiritual food as well. Let's go to Psalm verse 40. Psalm 40, verse 9 and 10. You see, we must become the vessel to proclaim the gospel. So we saw that it was the gospel and we saw that there was a missionary. And in verse 9, it says, I have proclaimed the good news of righteousness in the great assembly. Indeed, I do not restrain my lips. O Lord, you yourself know. I have not hidden your righteousness within my heart. I have declared your faithfulness and your salvation. I have not concealed your loving kindness and your truth from the great assembly. Slide 4. So from a missionary, because maybe some of you in here, you're like, well, I'm not a missionary. Okay, well, you know what? The dots connect to us. You see, the gospel that came from the very mouth of God, it goes to those that were called, those that were in the field, the shepherds, when the angel spoke to them, those that followed Jesus, that heard Jesus say, go and share the gospel and make disciples. And those like Hudson Taylor and the Buntain family. And even some of the missionaries that we support, if you take the time before you leave, right out in the hallway, there's a missions board. Matter of fact, there's a table in the hallway with some letters. I made copies so you can take one. If we run out, let one of us know. We'll be glad to make more copies for you. But there are letters from our missionaries that we support sharing what God is doing where God has sent them. We have no excuse to remove ourselves from this picture, from this connecting of the dots, because evangelizing is important, evangelizing the world for Jesus. You know, this assembly of believers must come together in unity for the gospel's sake, for the sake of those who have not yet heard the love of God and have not heard the demonstration of his love, that God did send Jesus to die for us. God knew we were going to sin, and yet he still sent his love. He still demonstrated his love. He still sent his son, Jesus Christ, to demonstrate his love to us because we needed a savior. May we be encouraged by Paul, Timothy, Hudson, Taylor, the Buntain family, and those missionaries that we support to become an active part in missions in our neighborhoods as well as overseas. Now, those of you that are taking notes, I didn't put this on the Bible app. But there's a interview with Miss Buntain, and you'll find it on YouTube. For those of you who are taking notes, you could look for FAQ dash is faith irrational. And there's an interview there with Miss Buntain. It's about a 31 minute interview, and it's very encouraging. And we're going to skip that last video for the sake of time. Maybe we'll show it later tonight. You know, in Mark chapter 8 and Luke 9, Jesus is quoted by saying something. And in both passages of scripture, it's about the same of what he said. And so it's just two accounts, but of what Jesus said. And I want to focus on what Jesus said in Mark 8:38. He says, For whoever is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him, the Son of Man, also will be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. It's a very hard saying, but it's a true saying because Jesus spoke it. You're ashamed of him, you'll be ashamed before the Father. That's very hard. Not touching, but hard. But it should be provoking us to say, Lord, then I don't ever want to be ashamed of the gospel because I don't ever want you to be ashamed of me. Lord, help me not to be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, let's go back to Romans chapter 1, verse 17. As I mentioned that we're going to look in verse 17. You see, there are still those who have not yet heard of Jesus. Like the man that Mark Buntain picked up who was laying there to just die in the street. And he thought, because he said, are you Jesus? He looked at Mark Buntain, because Mark Buntain's saying, hey, you need to know about Jesus. You need to say that you love Jesus. You need to ask Jesus to be the Lord and the Savior of your life. Okay, are you Jesus? The guy didn't know who Jesus was, never heard of Jesus. There are so many accounts that are similar to that of people in third world countries and, you know, that have never actually, maybe, have never even seen a cartoon about Jesus or a newspaper clipping about who Jesus is. He died on what? On a cross? He died for who? For me? There are a lot of people that don't know that. And so it says in verse 17, for in it, in what? He's still talking about the gospel, verse 16. For in the gospel is the righteousness of God revealed. The gospel, the good news, the truth reveals the righteousness of God. Who's the righteousness of God? Jesus. And he came to live and he came to die for you and for me. From faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Faith in God, faith in God's word, faith in Jesus. Slide 5. The last dot is the lost. This is where the gospel is needing to, I mean, how many of you ever gone to on a bus or on a train? There's a starting point and then there's an end. And then normally it goes back to the starting point. But here, there's a starting point and there's an end. And God wants to make sure that his word, his truth, his power, life-saving truth, which is the gospel of Jesus Christ, goes to the whole world, that all would hear, that all would know that Jesus loves and that Jesus saves. Notice that this verse says, for in it, in the gospel has power. In the gospel is where the righteousness of God is revealed. We read in John chapter 1 that the word is alive and living, and that word is Jesus Christ. And that Jesus reveals the righteousness of God because he is righteous. He is the true light, and he is the giver of life. And he has made us righteous because we have accepted the love of the Father. And there's a lot of people in China and Russia and Portugal or in Brazil, places where they speak Portuguese, that don't know what they just said. Jesus saves. Just in that, Jesus saves. There's power in the name of Jesus. But what does Jesus do for me? He saves. This is why the idea, if you want to call it the idea, if you want to call the concept, the heartbeat of God is for people to know Jesus, for people to follow Jesus. That's why he sent Jesus. Romans chapter 10, verse 13 says, for whoever calls in the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call upon somebody that they've not even heard or believed in? And how shall they believe in him in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear unless there's a preacher? How shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. I've said this before, that in this sanctuary, there are missionaries. There are evangelists. There are preachers. And some of you that are older, you're probably looking at me like, that ain't me. Don't count yourself out. Because God has a purpose for you. Maybe he's already been talking to you and you've just been backsliding a little bit and be like, no, that ain't for me. That ain't for me. And God's trying to get your attention to say, yes, it is for you. There's a group of people that I want you to minister to. And you don't even have to go to China. You just have to go to Woodbine. You just have to go to St. Mary's. But there's a group of people that I want you to go to. We've encouraged for so many years that students, when you step foot on that school campus, that is a mission field for you to share the gospel of Jesus Christ, to go ahead and tell people that don't know that Jesus saves. And it is very important. Where is that thing at? There we go. And it is very important that we understand, how will people hear unless someone goes and tells them? How are these missionaries that have been called by God, how are they going to go unless we help send them? This is what the lost do not have. They do not have the righteousness found in Jesus Christ because they remain in darkness and they remain in their sin and they're unable to be reconciled to God because of their sin. So they must hear Jesus saves. There might be some of you here today who need to be made new. Your righteousness is not the righteousness of Jesus. You are still in darkness. You're still in sin. And that's not to make you feel bad. That's just to tell you the truth. But there is one who saves, and it is Jesus. There is one who gives new life, and it is Jesus. There is one who reconciles you, makes you right in the sight of God, and that is Jesus. Maybe there's some here today. You need this reminder. Reminder of having the heartbeat of God, of being involved in missions, and that you too need to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. I want to share with this last verse, and then I'm going to ask the guys to play a song. And this altar call is just going to be a little different. Sometimes we kind of orchestrate it. Other times we don't, and this is one of those other times. During the course of this song, make an altar at your chair. You feel free to come up, or just feel free to just sit there. And it might be a song that you know, sing with it. If it's not, just allow the words and the Holy Spirit to speak to you and to touch your heart. And if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you know, there's nothing, you know, dramatic or anything about coming to the altar, but you can easily at your seat say, Jesus, forgive me of my sin. I accept your love, God, which is Jesus. Help me to live for you. I surrender my life. Amen. Something just simple as that. You could say that prayer. Then come talk to us afterwards, but you could say that prayer and be made new. No longer in darkness and in sin, but made righteous because of Jesus, because you called upon Jesus to be your Savior, to forgive you of your sin, and to help you to live for him. But I close with this, Luke chapter 2, verse 10. It says, then the angel said to them, do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. Some of you are thinking, wait a minute, that's a scripture we always hear during Christmas time. Listen. The angels spoke to the shepherds and told them, do not be afraid, for what I bring to you is good tidings of great joy, which will be for all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ, the Anointed, the Lord, the supreme authority. Us Christians, we need to be reminded of this. Don't be afraid. Don't be ashamed. And if you're caught today being afraid and ashamed, just say that prayer, Lord, help me not to be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ anymore.